Good morning, my friends. Some of us I recognize because we've been together over the weekend, and there's some other folks I haven't had a privilege to meet yet. Hopefully you'll understand my American accent. Is it working out okay so far? Okay. I'll try not to blur my words together too much. It's been really wonderful, this opportunity for me to meet Pastor Philip. We have a lot of things in common, actually, I've discovered over the last few days. We met on email because we were introduced by another pastor. And I figured we both met Jesus at the age of 17. Interesting. I think he became 17 before I did, though. We both have three children. Yeah, about three children. How about that? We have so much in common. And we both have married Asian wives. Very interesting. We've got so much in common. And we both happen to like Chinese food. I mean, wow, we are just so unified here. It's amazing. We've had a lot of good fellowship together over the last few days. And it's really good to be here. I came in this morning and I gave the brothers in the back a lot of homework. Are you okay, guys? Is it going to work out what we were putting the script? Great. Wonderful. They managed to juggle some of the stuff I asked them to do, as well as all the various displays on the screen for this morning. I was really impressed that they were able to get all that done. This is my third visit to Perth. I've been to Australia a number of times since the 1980s. First time I came was 1984. But this is my third visit to Perth. And I really enjoy coming here, coming to this area. I haven't been to this particular town before, so this is new to me. I like your food court down the road, whichever direction I was. That was really nice. I happen to live in Hawaii, in the United States. And has anybody here been to Hawaii before? Have a few people been to Hawaii? Yay. Next time you come, now you have somebody specific to visit. We'd love to visit with you. My wife and my three children, we all live there together. We're part of Youth with a Mission. If anybody's familiar with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, we have locations. It's a large Christian mission organization made up mainly of young people. We're actually being encouraged not to call it an organization, not because it's not organized, but because it's really a movement. The idea is it's a movement to work on completing the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so it's young people. Back in the early 1960s, when Youth with a Mission started, young people didn't do missions. There was no such thing as mission trips. I don't know if you realize that, but nobody was doing mission trips. If you were a missionary, you studied for 7 years or so, you learned the language, and then you went somewhere and began to, you know, you got a Bible degree, and then you went and you could be a missionary. And Lauren Cunningham, the man who founded Youth with a Mission, God spoke to him to go in all the world, and he spoke to him that young people can take the gospel places without 7 years of training. They'll make some mistakes. They'll mess some things up. I certainly did. I got into Youth with a Mission as a pretty young guy. I was about 20 when I started, 19 to 20. I'll never forget this one church I went to, and I miscalculated the distance it would take to drive there. And we got there too late. And people had been sitting there waiting for us to come and arrive, the pastor and everything. And we got there too late because I miscalculated the distance. And when we pulled onto the parking lot, the pastor was locking the door. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. I felt like, I think I've just let down everybody in the world today. I felt so terrible. But God is good. And he helped us to get beyond our faults. I feel like Lord gave me a word to share with you, or for us to just look at together. And it has to do with some of the reasons bad things happen to good people. Yeah, you know, some good people and bad things happen to them. And a lot of times we assign reasons for it that aren't necessarily the accurate. And we can put heavies on people. And then have you ever noticed that sometimes the wicked seem to prosper? What's up with that? You know, this guy's over here blaspheming God and he got a new car. I need a new car. And I love the Lord. Okay. So you ever notice there's scripture that says I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Yeah. So we have all these things and we look at the word. Sometimes we wonder. I have a really dear friend right now who's in bed battling for his life. He's got cancer. And, you know, just in his home before coming down here and praying with him, his family. And, you know, wow, you're looking, this is a good guy. This is a man of God. He was serving the Lord. And, whoa, where did this come from? Why did this happen to him? And so I want to go through a number of scriptures that shine some light on some of the reasons and help us see some of the reasons some things happen. And maybe they may be of help to you and encouragement to you. So we're going to start out with Jonah. Do we have that one ready, guys? Look at the Jonah. Let's read this here. Now it says, now the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, I guess hopefully we can go. Oh, I guess we don't have the rest of it, right? Oh, here it is. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This is what the Lord's saying. What happened after that? But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. Did God say, Jonah, go to Tarshish? Nope. What did God tell him? Go to Nineveh. All right. He went to Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah, and he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. Isn't that interesting? So the Lord told Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. What did he do? He disobeyed God. He disobeyed God, and then what ended up happening? After he disobeyed God, there's a storm. The ship was about to break up. They were fearing for their lives. They were throwing things overboard to lighten the ship. That's a pretty bad thing happening. Okay, these weren't necessarily good people. We don't know whether they're good or bad people. But the thing is, this terrible event was happening. Why did it happen? Why did this storm come and threaten their lives? Because Jonah disobeyed God. That's why. He was disobeying God. So it's pretty clear. There's one of the reasons sometimes some of the bad things happen that happen is because we disobey God. I would love to stand here and share with you all my victorious testimonies of things that where I obeyed God and things just went great. I got a few of those. But I'm going to share one of them that's kind of like Jonah with you. I have background in film and television production. And so I had this one story I was really excited about. It's a true story, a book this lady wrote. And I wanted to get the rights to the book so I could make a movie. And I was living on the East Coast of the U.S. near Washington, D.C. And the person I needed to get the rights from was in Los Angeles, all the way on the West Coast. So it was... I asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me, my wife and I, we sat and prayed together, and I asked the Lord, Lord, do you want me to go and get the rights to this story? Should I take this trip? Yeah? And I know that this has never happened to anybody in the room except me. I'm just sharing, so you know. I felt like the Lord said, don't go. Very clearly to me, don't go. I mean, if he had been standing in the room in front of me saying it with a microphone, don't go, it couldn't have been louder. It was that strong. So after we were done praying, my wife said, well, what do you feel like the Lord said to you? I said, I think I'm going to go. Did you hear what I said before? I said, I felt like the Lord said, don't go. So not only did I disobey the Lord, I lied to my wife. Oh, my gosh. It's just really getting thick now. Right? So I bought a ticket and I went. So what do you think happened? It wasn't great stuff. I was on that airplane kind of every time we hit a bump or something, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I disobeyed the Lord. I don't know. Is this the one? Am I causing problems for a few other people around me or what? The plane safely landed in Los Angeles. And I had bought also a ticket for a friend of mine as an attorney, a lawyer guy, to go with me. So he went with me. He's Christian. And I have to make a very long story short. We negotiated, did all the stuff, signed the papers. There were a number of signs along the way after I met this person that I was making this deal with that this probably isn't really a trustworthy person and all that. But anyway, we made the arrangements ahead of us. So on the way back, my lawyer friend was looking through some paperwork, and he said, uh-oh. So you don't want to hear that on the airplane while you're flying home, right? After disobeying God. Uh-oh. I said, what's the problem? And he goes, well, you remember in the book where she said this and that and the other? Yeah. I said, yeah. Well, look at these legal papers here. She actually says this and that, and it contradicts that. And I was like, oh, well, there's some more papers in there. Maybe there's some good stuff in there. You know, and so he looked. Now, something else happened while I was on the trip before we went back. While I was there, my mother-in-law was living with us. And I knew that she was ill. She had cancer and so forth. She was living with us in our house with our three kids. And while I was gone, she died. And my wife called me and said, Mom died. And, oh, wow. And I really needed to be there with my wife. Not on the other side of the country praying for her on the phone. I should have been there with her. But I disobeyed the Lord. And I went. And all these things started kind of falling apart. You know, I don't see that happen to anybody in here. I'm just sharing the story. Okay, I'm not a perfect guy, so I'll share that story with you, and hopefully you can learn something. Next time the Lord says, don't go, guess what? Don't go. Don't go. Yeah, if he says do something, do what he says do. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. We have that ready? See if we can see that one. Genesis chapter 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Jehovah exceedingly. Let's see what else it says. They were so wicked. So we have to now skip forward to Genesis 19. Let's see what that one says. So, okay, and the two angels came to Sodom at evening. It's evening time. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot saw them and rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Do we have some more of that scripture coming up? Was there more of it? Yeah. Oh, okay. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn aside, I pray you, into the servant's house and tarry all night and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. What else does it say? And he urged them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast. And did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. What else we got? But therefore, they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed. Oh, these words, we don't use this kind of language these days. Compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. Okay. And they called unto Lot, and he said unto him, where are the men that came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. You know what that actually means? Let me see if we get... Are the kids gone? you know, that actually means that we may know them. It's not, you know, let's introduce ourselves and exchange business cards. It's actually they wanted to have sexual relations with these men. Okay. Men have, they wanted to have sexual relations with men. So the Bible's full of stuff, guys. Just let you know. Okay. And Lot went out unto them to the door and shut the door after him. What else happened? And he said, I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Don't do this terrible thing. Okay. Behold, now I have two daughters. All right. That have not known a man. Let me, I pray, bring them out to you. What a great father. Okay. For Father's Day, guys, don't do this, please. This is not the right thing to do. Okay. Here you go, guys. You can have my daughters. Leave my guests alone. I mean, what kind of father is that? Anyway. All right, bring them out to you and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men don't do anything, okay? Because they're come under the shadow of my roof, okay? Basically, I'm going to skip forward because we got so much text here. Basically, you know what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah. That gives us a little background of what's going on. Fire rained down from heaven, sulfur, and it burned up everything alive in that place, just if you can imagine. So the man had to leave with his kids and get out of there. And his wife actually told him, don't turn around. Don't look back when you go. Run and don't look back. She looked back. What happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. Okay, so she disobeyed the law. So here, one of the reasons that these bad things happen is people's own wickedness, and they're getting punishment for wickedness. Okay, so that's what the reason that this stuff happened in Sodom. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6 real quick. Here's another thing. Galatians chapter 6, we can find that. For not even they who receive circumcision do themselves keep the law, but they... I think I wrote the wrong one. But they desire to have you circumcised. That's the wrong one. Sorry about that. We're basically, I think I misread something. 6:30. Scripture I'm looking for is whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. I think I wrote down the wrong reference. Verse 7, is it? 6, verse 7. So whatever a man sows, we plant a seed, we also reap that seed. Sorry about that. I got the wrong scripture there. But so sometimes when we sow wickedness, we reap bad stuff. Yeah, that's pretty clear. If we sow good things, then we reap good things. So there's another reason. So we're just going through a few reasons that some things happen to help us get some understanding. Right? If we... A lot of times, you know, you see somebody getting ill. Oh, wow, this person's ill. They got to go to the hospital. Something's wrong with their heart or whatever. Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do with them lying down and watching TV all day every day and eating potato chips and drinking soda. And that's all they ever do. That's what we're sowing. Then we reap that. All right? So if we walk. You ever go and you see these guys walk around with muscles? You know, they're in the summertime. They've got their shorts, sleeve shirts on, and their muscles are rippling. And you kind of, you know, for some of us guys, we go, man, I wish I looked like that. Yeah, wow. Well, they sowed time in the gym lifting weights, and so they're reaping this wedge body kind of thing. Sometimes the ladies are looking at the other girls with the slender figures and all that, and they go, oh, wow, what does she think she is? You know, or whatever. Well, maybe they're reaping what it takes to keep fit and exercise or whatever and all that sort of thing. I mean, you're thinking, yeah, but she's never had a baby before. That'll, you know, yeah, we'll see what she looks like after that, right? Okay, so now let's look at Exodus chapter 20 real quick. Exodus, I love this one. This is wonderful. Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth, a third and upon the fourth generation of them that hate me. And we got to see what's next. And showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. What does this scripture say about God? We can get insight about God's character and motivation sometime when we read the word. So what does it say to, about those who hate me? What does say God say he's going to do? You know, he punishes the children of the for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. What does he say about those who love me and keep my commandments? Another translation says that he brings blessing on a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. So how does a thousand generations compare to three or four generations? What does it say about God? He's more interested in what? He's more interested in blessing than he is punishing. If it was me, I would have turned it around the other way. Oh, you hate me, do you? Okay, a thousand generations, I'll visit your kids and get you back. That I'm just like that. But God's not like that. He's like, well, there is justice. I'm going to have to execute justice. It's going to visit your children for the third and fourth generation because you hate me. You know, you're disobeying me, whatever. But he says, but let's see, who loves me? Oh, he loves me. Okay, great. A thousand generations of blessing and favor on you and your children's children and their children. Isn't that awesome? It's awesome when we see, I love that, reading that about God. So I've noticed that there's been things go wrong in my life, a few things gone wrong, and it's like, wow, boy, I wish that didn't happen, and that didn't happen. And sometimes when I'm looking and saying, well, Lord, I didn't do anything wrong. Why is this happening to me? Then I realize, you know, there's a very strong possibility that three or four generations back, there's some wicked people in my family. Very strong possibility. In fact, I met some of them. Okay. So I just kind of look at the word. We're reaping something that some other people have sowed sometimes, you know. There's times I'm struggling, you know. I lost my house. We live a volunteer life. We don't have a salary. We serve the Lord voluntarily. We're dependent on supporters to listen to the Lord and partner with us and. You know, sometimes the supporters don't hear very clearly or fast enough. And so we lost our house. So right now we're kind of homeless. So we're living in sort of temporary situation and all that. And our van broke down after I've spent $500 fixing it. And it died, completely died. And I had to just kind of give it away to some guy to take it away. And he's kind of, you know, I'm like, Lord, I'm traveling around the world. I'm sharing the gospel with people and trying to help folks out. And wow. But then I think about it, I was like, yeah, you know, there's been some wicked forefathers in my life that didn't honor God. And maybe some of this is some of the result. You know, I look at I should be living on my grandfather's inheritance because the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance to whom? His children's children. Somebody wasn't wise. Yeah, that's it. It's easy to see. Just read the word. The word shows us what happens. It's easy to see. Well, somebody wasn't wise because I don't have it. Where is it? All right. It's really clear. The principles of the Lord are very clear, and they're not difficult to understand. Okay, let's take a look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Let's see if we got that one. Let's read that. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length ye have revived your thought for me, wherein ye, wow, I don't talk like this, did indeed take thought, but ye lacked opportunity for it. Is there another? I don't know why I keep getting these wrong, but the one that I was after was where Paul says that he learned to be content in whichever circumstances. Oh, verse 11. We probably didn't prepare the 11, did we? Yeah. Sorry, that's my fault. That's okay. So Paul says he learned to be content in whatever situation he's in. Let's look at one of the situations Paul found himself in, some of the situations, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Can we get that one? Can we get the 2 Corinthians one up there? Okay, let's look at this. Oh, here's other language we don't use anymore. But anyway, he says, I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was beaten. Did that happen to anybody this week, this past week? No, you're good. Paul was beaten with rods 3 times. He was pelted with stones. He was shipwrecked 3 times. He spent a night and day in the open sea, not on a boat, floating around trying to stay alive. Did that any of that happen to anybody in here today, this week, past? No, everybody's all right? Wow. You didn't get beaten with rods 3 times? Or pelted with stones? No, everybody's doing okay. Okay. But Paul, after experiencing these things, he said, I've learned to be content. I've learned to have a lot, and I've learned to be in want. Sometimes I want something and I don't have. I don't get. And wow, so I'm reading, looking at Paul. Wow, how did it happen to Paul? Paul is like one of the good guys. But yet, stuff went wrong for Paul. Things also went right for Paul. But so when we're looking at our lives and so forth, there are a number of reasons. All we have to do is look at the scripture. There are a lot of reasons why some of the things happened that happened. Let's look at one of our favorites. Here we go. Job. Ready to go see Job? Let's take a look at Job. Most of us don't wake up in the morning going, oh, man, I'm going to go read Job. I need some inspiration. Yeah, most of us don't do that. But let's see what we got with Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and turned away from evil. Job's a pretty good guy. All right. It says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she asses, okay, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the children of the East. He had, man, if I had all those camels and stuff, I'd be doing okay. I'd just trade them in and see if I can get something else I can really use other than camels. And his sons went and held a feast in the house of each one upon his day. So they took turns throughout the week. I mean, that's, these guys were so rich, they didn't have anything else to do. Just take turns having parties at each other's house. That's pretty good. Wow. And they sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Come on, sisters, this whole family. We just spend our time partying. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone, about that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So Job was trying to cover for his kids. What a father. Okay, we're talking about Father's Day. This guy, he's looking out for the welfare of his kids. He's like, man, they're, just in case they dishonored God, I'm going to cover for them. and sacrifice for them. Now it came to pass on the day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Jehovah, that Satan also came among them. All right, here comes Satan. And Jehovah said unto Satan, whence comest thou? He's basically saying, where are you coming from? Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Looking to see if I can get some trouble going. Okay. Jehovah said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Okay. For there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and turns away from evil. How would you like that to happen to you? Okay. You don't even know this meeting's going on. You don't even know what's happening. And it's the devil. The devil comes up to God and God says, what you been up to, devil? Oh, I've just been doing my job, going around the earth. And then the Lord says, well, hey, devil, you know what? Have you considered, what's your name, brother? Have you considered my son Ben here? Look at this guy. Perfect. Look, he's a good guy. He's doing good stuff. Ben doesn't want the Lord drawing attention to himself. He doesn't want the devil, you know, checking him out. He doesn't want that. But this is what God does with Job. Say, man, say, hey, devil, look at Job. This guy, you can't find somebody like him in the whole earth. Let's read and see what the devil responds. Then Satan answered Jehovah and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Here we go. He says, have you not made a hedge about him and about his house and around all that he has on every side? Okay. Have you not blessed the work of his hands and substance and increased the land? What else does he say? It's getting dangerous. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will renounce you to your face. Wow. So God goes, hey, devil, come here. Look at Vin over here. This guy's got it going on. He honors me. He does all the right stuff. And the devil goes, yeah, he just does that because you got him. He's got a lot of toys. You just made his life really easy. Tell you what, why don't you let me get to him and he'll curse you to your face. Satan's challenging God. He's basically saying, you know what? You think that Vin worships you because you're worthy of that. No, he just does it because you keep giving him fun stuff. If you stop doing that, if you let me at him for a while, he'll cry like a baby. Okay, that's what basically Satan's saying. So you see this? This is now the devil's challenging God. So what does God do? Let's read and see what happens. Jehovah said unto Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of Jehovah. So basically God said, okay, go for it. Let Vin have it. You just can't take his life. Wow. So Vin doesn't know this meeting's happening. He has no clue. He's just going along his life. And all of a sudden, man, the car broke down. His wife doesn't like him anymore. The kids are being disobedient. His boss fires him. Whoa! All in the same day. What in the world? Vin's going, what did I do? What's going on? This stuff, everything's going. Now he starts getting, you know, a rash and stomach's bothering him and he can't keep the food down and all this stuff. One thing after the other. Vin is, he doesn't know there was a meeting. What's going on in this meeting? Why did this happen? Does this happen? Is God playing with Vin like a puppet? You know, oh, this is fun. Let's give Vin some turmoil here. Is that what's going on? No, you know what's happening? Let me tell you what's really happening. I believe what's happening behind the scenes. God believes in Vin. He's like, this is my servant. This is my son. He's going to honor me. I'm going to take the risk and remove this hedge of protection for a while and to Satan that he loves me because of who I am. So how about that? What a God. God is believing in us. You know, so sometimes when some of this terrible stuff starts happening in my life, I'm not right away going, oh, you know, I did something wrong or whatever. I've started looking at it going, oh, God, you must really believe in me. You really believe in me right now that I'm going to worship you in the middle of it. I'm going to praise you. I'm not going to say bad stuff about you. I'm not going to doubt your character. I'm going to recognize there is a devil in the earth, and his job is to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's doing his job. And I'm going to do what I can do to resist that as best I can, but I'm going to honor you and worship you and say, you are a good God. You're good all the time. All of your ways are good. You're just in all your doings. And if I have to say that as I'm going down into the grave, I'll keep saying it. That's a good point right there for somebody to shout or something, you know, jump up and down or whatever. So awesome. God believes in us. I mean, most of the Bible is about whether or not the man believes in God. Here's one where he's like, hey, God's the one that brought this up. Did you notice that? He said, hey, Satan, look here. Have you looked at this guy's life? Check him out. I would be like, God, that's okay. We're good. If he hasn't been looking at me, that's all right. Get him to look at somebody else. We're going to finish this up looking at Jesus, okay? In Hebrews, there's a scripture in Hebrews chapter 5. Let's see what that says. If I've got the right one. Okay. Who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear. What's next? Though he was a son, this is Father's Day, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Wow. Jesus suffered stuff, and he learned obedience. Did Jesus have to learn obedience? Wow. So, you remember I told you I disobeyed the Lord and I went on that trip. And guess what? I suffered some stuff. I lost a lot of money, different things. I learned obedience. And I read here that, wow, Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Let's take a look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 3. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. This is the last one. We're looking at a lot of scriptures, aren't we? Okay, but this will be the last one. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Let's look at what happened. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away from the waters, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And what's the next verse say? Is there more? It says, and lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow. So imagine that. When you got baptized, did you hear any voices when you came up out of the water? Anybody? No, I didn't either. I was like, it was great. When I came up, I was wet, and I was sincere. I gave my life to the Lord. I didn't hear nothing open up. Imagine you get baptized. Is it Ron? Roy? Ronnie? Okay. So Ronnie and I had lunch together yesterday. So Ronnie gets baptized. He comes out of the water. All of us are around, and all of a sudden we hear a voice. This is my son, I'm pleased with him. How would you feel, Ronnie? Huh? Ronnie's like, that would be awesome. Yeah, that would be so cool if that happened. Well, that actually happened to Jesus. Jesus comes up. Everybody around them can hear this voice. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Isn't that wonderful? You think Jesus might have had a smile on his face? Yeah. Let's look and see what happened in verse chapter 4. Then, this is right away. See, in the Bible, they don't have chapter breaks in the real action the way it happened. It happened this way. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Come on, Ronnie. This is my son. I love him. Oh, I'm well pleased with him. Come on. It says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I thought you said you were pleased with me. I mean, did you guys hear that? Yeah, I heard it too. Why am I out here now in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? Interesting. Huh? The Father believes in Jesus. He's like, he can take it. He's gonna have to go through this. This is a requirement. You know that few years back on New Year's Day, I was spending some time in prayer, and I felt like the Lord said something to me. He said, resistance is a requirement for building strength. I'm like, I don't like that. Don't you have a nice psalm or something you can give me, you know, peace in the valley or something? I mean, resistance is a requirement for building strength. I injured my leg a few years back, and I wasn't able to do exercises or do things with it for a few weeks, several weeks. And my leg, the muscles atrophied. They just got that. It was just like a stick. This leg was. The other leg was okay. But this one was like, It's like, that's weird. Where'd all that rest of the meat that was usually down there, where'd it go? It's gone. Yeah, because there was no resistance. Resistance is a requirement for building strength. So Jesus ends up getting this. Satan comes along and tempts him, tests him. Now, a lot of us kind of think, well, you know, that's Jesus. You know, he can make that. But, you know, Jesus chose to become like us. He put himself in a position to be like us, a human. So he could get sleepy, tired, hungry, injured, hurt, feel pain, have desires. If he didn't become like us, we can't identify with him. The enemy wants us to keep thinking he's like a Superman. And I can't identify with him. But no, he's trying to get us to see, no, I was like you. I became a man. I was born. I was a baby. I needed somebody to change my nappies. I needed to be fed. I mean, Jesus, like us. So he goes through this resistance and things. Then we're probably going to hit some resistance. We're probably going to get tested by the enemy. Maybe right after we have a victory. Like Jesus comes up out of the water, hears his voice. This is my son. I love him. I love him so much. I'm taking him out to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he comes out of that, he's going to be stronger. He's going to learn obedience through the things which he suffered. Wow. So I don't know, you know, where you might be today, right now. But maybe you came here this morning and you're wondering, man, why is all this stuff going wrong? I want to propose to you that maybe God believes in you. He believes that you will hang in there and be strong and honor him and call on him for strength. And rely on him through the resistance. And you'll be stronger for it in the end. You'll learn obedience even through the things which you suffer. Hallelujah. Is anybody encouraged at all? Just a little bit today? Just a little bit? I want to pray for you, if that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you so much that you love us. Lord, we want to be the kind of people that you can say, hey, Satan, have you considered Kenny? Have you looked at this guy's life? You can say that to him, and he can turn it on, but by your grace, I'll be able to resist that. We'll be able to, we're going to hang in there. We're going to keep honoring God. We're going to keep believing the Lord for deliverance. We're going to keep looking up. We're going to keep trusting in him with all our hearts and not leaning on our own understanding. Lord, I pray that for each of my friends here, maybe they're facing challenges, Lord, and difficulties and things that they don't even know, wow, why is this happening? Maybe it's been from the sins of the fathers, you know, those that before generations didn't obey you, Lord. Would you, we'll stand in the gap and ask you to forgive that and break that off in our lives so that we can walk in victory and freedom. Hallelujah. And we commit to you, Lord, to love you and honor you so that you can bless 1,000 generations of ours, those that love you and keep your commandments. Hallelujah. I thank you for my friends here in Jesus' name, and I pray for your favor to be with them and that there will be great fruitfulness in all of their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.